Today, the AI candle draws the market's moths despite the economic disaster ahead. Hello again, that's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Well, now this post covering finance and property news. This is a weekly market update where we start in the US and cross to Europe and Asia, and then in Australia we cover commodities and crypto along the way. Perhaps never before has it been so important to delve into the market's weird behaviour, as traders are now back on the AI hype, following tangible results from some of the Magnificent Seven, despite the looming economic realities from the energy crisis and more, all caused by the closure of the Straits of Hormuz. Massive uncertainty remains as attempts at brokering talks between the US and Iran fell flat this week. According to the Wall Street Journal, Tehran has dropped its demand that the US lift the Strait of Hormuz blockage before ceasefire talks can begin. That was the hardest precondition that was on the table. Now it's gone. Iran is also offering to put its nuclear program on the table in exchange for sanctions relief and is signaling it's ready to return negotiations in Pakistan as early as maybe next week. Trump, though, just declared the war with Iran was over, and he officially notified Congress that the hostilities which began on February the 28th have terminated, perhaps though, to avoid scrutiny as a 60-day deadline passes. Yet it's reported that Trump is also considering fresh military action against Tehran, and Trump later told reporters that Iran wanted to make a deal, but I'm not satisfied with it, so we'll see what happens. The damage to the global economy is now locked in, with the Bank of England this week talking about three possible scenarios, none of which were good, but the worst, with inflation at around 6%, oil prices remaining high out to 2027, with growth stalling, interest rates rising, and unemployment ticking up. All sounds stagflationary to me. Investors, though, have yet to prepare for a doubling of the physical oil prices. Bloomberg reminds us, by the way, that the big stock market crash that followed the 1973 oil crisis did not come during the embargo itself, but it was 6 months later after it was lifted. So it takes time to truly bite. Yet, US markets in particular are back on the AI trade, as five of the Magnificent Seven rose, led by Apple, although Nvidia and Meta Platforms slipped. Google parent Alphabet continues to move towards Nvidia in terms of market capitalization, ending the week at $4.66 trillion US dollars, with Nvidia at $4.82 trillion. Apple rallied 3.3% as investors flocked to the iPhone maker after the release of its better-than-expected quarterly results and optimistic outlook, helping both the Nasdaq Composite and the S&P 500 to reset their highs. At the close in New York, the Nasdaq was up 0.9% and the S&P 500 advanced 0.3%. The Dow, though, fell 0.3%, with half of its 30 companies rising and half falling. 10 of the largest US tech companies drove about 70% of the S&P 500 surge through April. Other markets are yet to take account of the true economic impact too, with the MSCI Global Index up 0.27% on Friday and 8.63% higher over the past month, despite the Iran situation, while the MSCI Asia, excluding Japan, was up 0.25% and 14.6% across April. Even the Stock 600 in Europe was up 2.45%, while the ASX 200, which rose 1.74% on Friday, was up 1.75% across the month. Brent crude futures expiring in July, that's the global benchmark, of course, was last down 1.7%, $108.57 a barrel, after reaching a high of $112.43 a barrel. But the Brent contract for June, which expired last Thursday, surged to more than $126 a barrel. That's its highest level in 4 years, before retreating sharply to around a $114. So trading is going on here in the futures. Remember, the war has effectively shuttered the Straits of Hormuz, through which about 20% of global energy supplies flow. Physical prices are much higher than the futures contracts, as are prices for other critical commodities too. Demand destruction has to follow. And we are seeing price pressures showing up in business activity surveys and consumer inflation expectations, but it's all a slow burn down a one-way street, probably. Inflation swaps show investors see US inflation at around 3.53% in 1 year and around 2.75% in 5 years, still above the Federal Reserve's 2% target. And it's a similar picture in the Eurozone and the UK. In Australia, inflation was above the RBA's target even before the Gulf War, and markets are expecting more rate rises as well. This week's Federal Reserve meeting revealed a surprisingly divided US Central Bank, as three board members objected to language in the Fed's policy statement they felt did not take adequate account of inflation risks that might require a rate hike. That hawkish turn, combined with surging oil prices, pushed benchmark US Treasury yields to one-month highs. The yield on the widely followed 10-year Treasury was around 4.371% late on Friday. The two-year was at 3.880%. Higher yields could pose problems for equities, including by translating into higher borrowing costs for consumers and businesses. Currency market participants on Friday were focused on the Japanese yen after reports of intervention by Tokyo thrust it into the spotlight. The US dollar kicked off May with a slight advance after posting loss in April. The US dollar index was up 0.2% to 98.21. On Thursday, the greenback had posted a 1.9% decline for April. That's the worst monthly performance since August last year. The Japanese yen weakened against the dollar, with the US dollar-Japanese pair last up 0.4% to 157.07. The yen had strengthened sharply in the prior session after reported currency market intervention by Tokyo. Weakness in the yen came even as the Bank of Japan struck a hawkish chord earlier in the week, with the central bank hiking its inflation forecast and warning that it will raise interest rates further in the coming months. British stocks closed slightly lower on Friday. The FTSE 100 fell 0.1%, with the European peers in Germany and France closed for the May Day public holiday. NatWest posted a 12% rise in first quarter profits to £2 billion, beating forecasts and upgrading its full-year income guidance towards the top end of its range. Bank of Ireland reaffirmed full-year guidance after net loans grew at an annualised 5% range, and its non-performing exposure fell just 2%. Pearson's reported a 4% rise in underlying first-quarter sales on surging virtual learning demand and said it remained on track for the full year. And BDO data showed that British discretionary retail like-for-like sales fell 1.6% in April. That's the weakest in a decade outside of the pandemic, as Iran war-driven fuel costs and weak confidence weighed. Nationwide said that UK house prices unexpectedly rose 0.4% in April and were 3% higher than a year ago, though surveyors flagged weaker demand and the broadest price decline since January 2024 in March. European shares had jumped more than 1% on Thursday, and that marked their biggest monthly gain in over a year as investors were relieved by better-than-expected corporate earnings and still those hopes of a resolution of the US-Israeli war in Iran. Germany's DAX rose more than 1.4%. The Eurozone banking index paired earlier losses too to edge just 0.1% lower as French banks reported subdued trading results. BNP Paribas, Societe Generale and Crédit Agricole slid 1.4%, 3.6% and 3.7% respectively. Against this backdrop, the European Central Bank left interest rates unchanged but signalled concerns over rising inflation, spurring bets that it would lift borrowing costs by 25 basis points more than once this year, with an initial move expected in June. The euro was last down 0.1% to 1.17121, while the sterling fell 0.3% to 1.3579. In Asia, despite the war, markets had a good month. South Korea's KOSPI rallied over 30% last month, while Japan's Nikkei surged more than 15%. China's Shanghai Composite Index climbed nearly 6% in April, and even India's Nifty 50 was up 7.5%. Asian stock markets rose in holiday-thinned trading on Friday, tracking record closes on Wall Street, while investors cautiously monitored developments around the US-Iran conflict. Trading volumes were subdued, with major markets in China, Hong Kong, Singapore and India closed for public holidays. Japan's Nikkei 225 rose 0.6% on Friday, while the broader topics traded flat. Tokyo consumer inflation rose modestly in April, while underlying price pressures softened, keeping it below the Bank of Japan's targets and highlighting fragile demand conditions. Data showed headline consumer prices in the capital increased 1.5% year on year in April, up slightly from 1.4% in March. Core CPI, which excludes fresh food, rose 1.5%, slowing from 1.7% and missing market forecasts of 1.8%. The print is closely watched as a gauge of underlying inflation by the Bank of Japan. A core reading that excludes both fresh food and energy prices fell to 1.9% in April from 2.3% in the prior month, hitting a 14-month low. The softer inflation print came as government subsidies on utilities, specifically gas and electricity, remained in place, offsetting the impact of higher gas prices due to supply disruptions caused by the Iran war. Public and private transportation costs grew at a sluggish pace, as Tokyo also moved to release oil from its strategic reserves to stabilize local supply. But the print comes just days before the Bank of Japan held interest rates, but sharply hiked its inflation forecast for 2026, while also warning that it will raise interest rates further in the face of increasingly sticky inflation. The Bank of Japan also cut its economic growth forecast on expectations of headwinds from the Iran war. The 10-year bond was last at 2.502%. Australian shares rose for the first time in almost 2 weeks on Friday as risk-on sentiment returned at the start of a new month, supported by easing oil prices and strong US corporate earnings. The S&P ASX 200 advanced 0.7% to 8,929, trimming the week's losses to just 0.6% and snapping an 8-day losing streak. That's the longest since 2018. On the ASX, materials was the strongest as BHP climbed 2.3% to $50.94, Rio Tinto 2.7% to $171.97, and Liontown surged 12.3% to a record high of $2.64. Consumer staples rebounded, led by Coles, which rose 3.7% to $20.92 after a narrow beat on supermarket sales. Unlike Woolworths Group, on Thursday, Coles did not temper earnings expectations, noting a shift towards home-branded products and more at-home meals. Woolworths fell a further 0.8% to $34.15. Energy was mixed as Woodside Energy fell 1.3% to $33.12, while Whitehaven Coal added 2.6% to $8.63, and Paladin Energy rose 3.9% to $11.97. Financials was actually the only sector lower as ANZ slid 2.8% to $35.61, as its cash profit of $3.78 billion beat expectations, but investors were concerned about weaker revenue trends and margins, according to UBS. Commonwealth Bank also fell 0.4% to $103.04. Qantas gained 0.8% to $8.48 as it extended flight cuts into 2026 and 2027 and continued shifting aircraft to Europe as surging fuel costs tied to the Middle East conflict forced a reshaping of its network, and ResMed lost 3.5% to $28.73 after it delivered a modest earnings beat in the March quarter. Analysts viewed softer device growth in the Americas and the departure of Chief Financial Officer Brett Sandercock as potential caps to near-term upside. Sky City Entertainment dropped 5.6% to 51 cents after it lowered earnings guidance ahead. The Aussie was at 72.03 US cents and 53.06 UK pence, and the 2-year bond was at 4.708% ahead of the RBA's decision next week, where markets are 75% convinced the hike is coming. In crypto, Bitcoin gained on Friday, hovering near $78,000, helped by risk appetite that also lifted equities. The world's largest cryptocurrency in the previous session notched its best monthly performance in a year. It was last at 78,298, and the cryptocurrency jumped nearly 12% in April amid optimism about a temporary US-Iran ceasefire and record highs on Wall Street. And world number two Ethereum added 1.3% to 2,230. Ahead, we're going to get Australian company results with NAB results on Monday, Westpac results on Tuesday, Amcor results, and Rio results on Wednesday, Orica and Lightwonder on Thursday, Macquarie Group, QBE, News Corp, REA results with AGMs and QBE and TPG on Friday. The RBA is going to announce their rate decision on Tuesday along with a statement on monetary policy. This policy meeting is the last of the major central banks until the Reserve Bank of New Zealand on May the 27th. And results are also going to flood in from the US companies. But of course, this is frankly all rearview mirror stuff. The truth is an economic crisis is incoming. And I think that markets do remain myopic, despite the AI hype. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.